I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Medellin, Colombia has a reputation. It's a city where the infamous Pablo Escobar once commanded an international drug operation that dealt with its enemies in deadly fashion. But this next story isn't about cocaine cartels, although they are kind of a part of it. This is the tale of a community of Orthodox Jews living outside Medellin. It's been quite a spiritual journey for them. They were once Catholics, then became evangelical Protestants. Now they've embraced a deeply conservative version of Judaism, and they are thriving. Graciela Mochkovsky has written a fascinating article about this community in the California Sunday magazine. I asked her what drew her to this story in the first place.
So I actually been following this story for a few years. I started actually in 2003 writing about the first leader of community going from Catholicism to Protestantism to Orthodox Judaism in Peru. I'm working on a book on that community, and so researching on that group, which I thought originally was a completely isolated event in Latin America, I realized around 2009 that now throughout the continent we are getting an explosion of conversion to Judaism from previously Catholic or Christian communities. So the most organized of these new communities is this one in Medellin. So I decided to go there, stay with them for a while. I followed them to Israel, and, you know, I've been following the story, their story specifically, since 2009.
So people across Latin America like to say that thanks to the Spanish Inquisition and the flight of Jews all over Europe and across the ocean to the New World, everyone in Latin America can trace back at least 1/16 Jewish heritage. But these Jews in Bale have a different story. Drugs and drug violence led them to kind of the promised land, you could say, specifically the Negev Desert. Talk about that. That was kind of the starting point, right?
Yes. So the story starts in Medellin, in a suburb, in a poor suburb, very violent, as you said before, during the Pablo Escobar years. And the protagonists of the story are two men, they were teenagers then, who found a way out of the violence and of the street thanks to an evangelical church. So they first became members and leaders of this local Pentecostal church that they brought up, and they made it into a mega church of 3,000 people in the outskirts of Medellin. And once they were there, they started getting these connections with Israel. One of them, René Cano, who was the leader of the music band of this mega church, he was part of a group of young leaders of the community who were brought to the Negev Desert and to tour Israel for a month, together with a group of hitmen who were basically murdering people for Pablo Escobar and his cartel. So they were part of this rehabilitation program. The idea was that these church leaders and community leaders would mix together with the, you know, bad guys, these killers, and they would bring them to Israel and they would save their souls and their lives, and they would go back to Medellin and, you know, they would change these criminal young people's lives. So that's how René, who's now called Shlomo after he converted, got to Israel in the late 1990s. The other protagonist of the story, Juan Carlos Villegas, was the pastor of this church, eventually became the pastor, and he was invited around the same time to Israel as part of group of Pentecostal, you know, there's all this group of Christian Pentecostals who are close to Israel. They claim a strong connection with the Old Testament. And some of those groups are also, they call themselves the Messianic Jews. They think they are Jews and Christian at the same time. And he was part of a group visiting Israel in 1999, who found there of Pentecostal group, and there he found the Messianic Jews and was completely transformed by that experience. Mm. So that's how these two guys from Medellin, who were part of the same evangelical church, in two different moments get to Israel around the same time, and they come back to Colombia transformed, and that's where their conversion process towards Judaism starts.
And back in Medellin, I mean, the optics of this new conversion to Judaism, did it combine kind of the megachurch visuals with the new discovery of Judaism?
Yes, what they did is they shifted the megachurch towards Messianic Judaism. So they became a Messianic Jewish church, which is basically a Christian church who claiming a connection with Judaism. after a couple of years, they realized, especially the rabbi of this Christian Jewish church, he realized that Jesus, you know, he went back to Israel. He started looking for answers, and he came to the conclusion that Jesus hadn't been the Messiah, and that he had been a rabbi and he was an important figure, but he was not the Messiah. So they had to abandon Christianity altogether.
Wow.
So he went back to Medellin. He gathered his 3,000, you know, followers, the people from the church, and he announced to them in a very dramatic moment that they had to abandon Christianity. They had to be Jewish because that was the true religion, and that he understood if people didn't follow him. And it took him months of persuading them and, you know, talking them, rereading the Bible with them, finding the clues of this newfound truth. Most of them abandoned him. The church was basically, you know, shut down, and 600 people stayed with him and followed him into this new conversion.
Wow, a lot of spiritual discovery and a search for answers. How many converts are there just in Bayo and Medellin today?
So from those original 600, it's a very hard thing what they did. You know, they had to completely change their habits. Most of them, you know, severe ties with their families. They changed the way they eat, the way they pray. They stopped working on Saturdays. They changed the way they, you know, their clothes. All of the men got circumcised. They started learning Hebrew.
Circumcised in midlife. I mean, and all of them did?
Yes, they did. In groups of 30, they went to this surgeon, and they got it done in a few days.
Wow.
But it was hard for most of the followers. So after a few years, about 200, 250 stayed, and that's basically the size of the synagogue now. The leader of this group, whose name is now Elad Villegas, he went to Israel. He became a rabbi. He got an ordination there from a yeshiva, and he came back as the rabbi of the community. They are now actually a respected community in Latin America. They have their own synagogue. They have their Hebrew center. They have their kosher chicken plant.
Wow.
They sell kosher food. They are a center of religious Jewish life in Colombia.
Yeah, so they'll cook a pollo asado, but it's a kosher pollo asado.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
Very
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
So do you think this religious minority can thrive in the long term?
I think they are becoming the center of Jewish life in many countries in Latin America. You asked earlier about the figures. I didn't reply to that, but you have now a few tenths of thousands of these converts throughout Latin America. So it's not the millions that are becoming evangelical, but if you compare their numbers to the numbers of the traditional Jews in their own countries, you will see that in some cities, mostly in Colombia, but also in Peru, in Ecuador, in Guatemala, in El Salvador, and in other countries, you will see that they are about to outnumber the local Jews, the traditional Jews there, and they're growing. You know, 15 years ago, there was just one group or two groups, and now we have, I'm mapping them up, now we have around 60 groups in 14 countries.
Graciela Mochkowski, who's been writing about Colombians converting to Judaism, thank you very much.
Thank you.